views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant, Powerful Moms. Today we're going to talk about stress and changes that you can make that will start decreasing how stress affects you. This is an important topic for you to be aware of because not only can stress have a negative impact on your health, making you susceptible to everything from the common cold to life-threatening illness, but it also can be very damaging to your relationships, which translates into your overall happiness in life. It tends to eat up your patience and make it much harder to recharge your batteries. All told, stress can definitely get in the way of you being a vibrant and powerful being. Let's start by talking about what makes stress important. I love to use the analogy of an elastic to illustrate this point because if you take a plain old elastic and set it in the palm of your hand, what do you have? A piece of rubber sitting on your hand. It does not serve a purpose. It has a lot of potential, but at that moment, it's not purposeful. The only way to give that elastic meaning or purpose is to add some stress to it. You have to force the elastic to grow or stretch for it to serve a purpose. Now, we all know that when eased gently, an elastic can often deal with more stress than we would have originally thought it could. But if you pull it too far or too fast and it reaches its limit, snap. It is done. When you take this elastic example and apply it to human life, you can see that some stress helps you grow. It gives you purpose. It pushes you to expand beyond your current circumstances, or comfort zone, as it's often referred to. But too much stress or totally uncontrolled stress can result in irreparable damage. So where does stress come from? There are a few different categories of stress which are good to be aware of because they can help you monitor and understand what you're really dealing with. The first are those things that we do on purpose that add stress into our lives, such as anything new that you do, whether it be starting a new relationship, getting a job, having a baby, moving, traveling, taking a course, learning to play tennis or any sport, or even undergoing something new like performing in front of others, doing a certain dance or singing a song or these kinds of things. So let's think about that for a moment. All the things in life that make it worthwhile, relationships, children, travel, adventure, learning, careers, they all add stress into our lives. We would never want to give these things up, or at least not totally. I mean, sometimes we recognize that we need to sever a relationship because it's no longer healthy for us, or maybe our career is no longer inspiring us, it's no longer feeding our soul and making us want to jump out of bed in the morning, and so we decide to make changes. Those are fine. But beyond that, these are not things we want to give up because we recognize they are what makes life worth living. The second category includes the unexpected and less welcome elements that force you to make changes and grow. These might be major health concerns or getting in an accident. even taking on too many tasks. But by that, I mean having that kind of yes syndrome where you just can't say no. So you end up volunteering and helping out doing this and that. Plus you have work, plus you have your kids, plus you have a million other things. And so it leads to burnout or overwhelm because you've just taken on too much stuff. Losing something or someone very precious to you. Major money problems. By this, I mean really big deals like bankruptcy, getting evicted or foreclosures, or maybe having someone come and repossess all your stuff. And of course, here is also where you would find relationships that aren't easy to sever. So for example, let's talk about your mother-in-law. Lots of mother-in-laws are wonderful and lots of them are very difficult. But if your husband loves his mother and wants her to be around, then you do have to learn to live with her. It doesn't work to sever that relationship as long as you want to stay with your husband. Now, these things aren't expected or typically welcomed into your life, but they are big things and often are more a long-term part of your life, whether you like it or not. A third category of stressors are things that tend to be momentary, but still wear you out. So being late for a meeting, being in a traffic jam, having a flat tire, missing the bus, short-term sleep deprivation, which is a big deal for a lot of moms, a momentary unexpected expense, so like getting a ticket or car repair or having school trips. So it's not going to mean that you're getting kicked out of your house, but it is going to make it more difficult that month or for the next little while. Even things like the photocopier getting jammed or spilling coffee or maybe ketchup down your blouse when you go out for lunch. And also reacting to food where you eat something and then it just doesn't agree with you. All of those things are not a big deal on their own, but if they're not recognized for the stress that they bring into your life, they can often be the straw that breaks the camel's back. So it's important to be aware of them. A final category of stressors that we're going to talk about today are things that you might not be aware of at this point in your life, such as a food intolerance, the disruption of electricity on your body, so how electromagnetic fields affect you. Maybe dealing with a virus where you don't feel sick, but your body is still struggling and having to work. Even breathing in toxins or molds, having a lot of negative thoughts, that's like the inner critic, or being paranoid or having self-loathing, and being surrounded by negative people. Now, these things can all stress your body, making it harder for you to deal with difficult situations and stay healthy. However, these are often things that people aren't even aware of. So until you start to become aware of these things, they'll continue to stress you out. What I want you to understand is they can be there. And if you feel like you've decreased or dealt with a lot of the other stressors in your life and things are going pretty good, yet you still feel stressed, it's certainly worth it to start checking out some of those hidden categories. So back to the elastic. It's when our stress builds to the point of overwhelm in life that things stop being fun. You know, negative things start rising to the surface. So you might have a relationship breakup, or you might lose your job or have a major health concern arise because of this overwhelm. So if the elastic sitting in the palm of your hand has zero stress on a scale of 0 to 10, where at 10 the elastic snaps, then it makes sense that you would want to be aware of your stress levels and especially what your sweet spot is for stress. So in other words, what's the amount of stress that gives you purpose, keeps you growing, helps you move forwards, without hurting you and those around you? My sweet spot is around a 3 to a 4, which means that when I feel myself starting to go above that number, or even if I find myself below that number, then I need to take action and raise it up or lower it down. That all starts with knowing where it is in the beginning. Just to be clear, I'm not saying my stress level is always around a 3 or a 4. It is often above that. What I'm saying is that's where I want to be. And with awareness, I have a better chance of making that happen. So let me talk about the two possibilities here. One of them is that when I just finish a project and my relationships are going good and I've got lots of wonderful, fulfilling things happening in my life, I will often be at a one or a two in the stress department. Now, this is problematic. If I don't do anything about it, I will start to create drama in my life. Honestly, I don't do it consciously. I don't do it on purpose, but I will start to do it because we're here to grow and to learn. And so I need to come up with a new project. And by that, I don't mean filling my life with busy work. I mean thinking about what is the next thing that I'm going to do that is going to force me to grow, that is going to push me out of my comfort zone. And if I don't do that, then I'm in danger of actually creating drama, like picking a fight with my neighbor or maybe with my spouse or whatever, and bringing this drama into my life. Now, the other more likely scenario is when I rise above the three or the four. And the trick for me is to notice that and to have lots of tools and things that I can use to help bring that back down. Otherwise, I would be sitting around an eight most of the time. I'm apparently a fairly tense person. I'm going to share a story about that in a moment. But back when I was in university, I probably was at an eight a lot, especially during exam time, because I was so stressed out. I was studying all the time. I had no time to do things with my family or boyfriend, or he became my husband at that time. And, you know, there was just so much going on. And I didn't have time to do any of it. So I really felt the stress. And during that time, I could break into tears at just somebody looking at me the wrong way. Or I could get angry at the silliest things and just, you know, start yelling at somebody. My health issues were all flared up. My relationships often felt strained. And that was because I was sitting at around an eight. And the problem with that, besides the fact that it's not good for you or your relationships, is that I had no more room there. So if something happened to bring me up to a nine, then I was really going to be in a tough situation. And if it took me beyond that, well, then I was in danger of snapping. And when I say snapping there, I don't mean just losing it and behaving badly. I mean snapping where you break. When an elastic breaks, you can't just glue it back together. It's not just a, okay, let's learn from this and move on. I am talking about reaching that point where you wind up in the hospital, where you actually burn right out, where you break up your relationships and, you know, do things that are irreparable. That's what I'm talking about. So how does stress feel in your body? Most of us recognize stress as tension. Maybe your shoulders are up around your ears, or you experience headaches from clenching your jaw so much. What's interesting with tension is that it's kind of a catch-22. Stress causes tension, and tension increases our stress. Now, some people don't even notice their tension until their back goes out or their digestive tract goes wonky and they get diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome or ulcers or things like that. Our goal with self-awareness is to avoid these kinds of issues by noticing things like tension as soon as they arise. I've been learning and teaching about stress for quite a while now. I get it. I pay attention. I have lots of tools for dealing with stress, and I take action. This is a formula that I teach and I totally believe in. So I want to share a little story with you that is actually kind of disappointing for me. When my husband and I were first married, which is about 24 years ago, we moved to a country lot 45 minutes outside of the city. Now, I was going to university in Winnipeg, and he worked 12-hour shifts from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, or 6 at night till 6 in the morning, which meant that he was gone all day. And it also meant that when he was on nights, he would be heading out to work as soon as I got home from school, if not before, and coming home when I was leaving in the morning. So we could actually go for days without seeing one another. As I was driving home one wintry evening on this dark and isolated highway, you know, it was windy and it was icy and the snow was starting to blow across the road, and I was feeling really vulnerable and alone. And I suddenly tuned in to how much tension I had in my body. Like, my legs were aching. I was holding them so tight. I felt like they were made out of granite, and I am not a super duper muscular person, so I knew that this wasn't the case. My shoulders were honestly up around my ears, and my hands hurt from holding the steering wheel. And I suddenly had this little epiphany. I realized that the tension in my body was not helping me to get home safely. It wasn't making me a better driver. It would not make a positive difference if my car started going into a spin. In fact, all it was doing was making it harder for me to enjoy the drive. And it could even be argued that if I relaxed my muscles, I would be better able to deal with any difficult situation should it arise. Now, I know this sounds obvious, but for me, this was a real moment of enlightenment. I realized right then and there that I was making those drives way more stressful than they needed to be. And so I was carrying that stress then with me into the rest of my day, whether it be when I got home or when I got to university. And my health was noticing. Like, I was suffering from irritable bowel syndrome at the time. I had daily headaches. I had migraines monthly, you know, and just so many other problems. So it was 24 years ago that I tuned in to the fact that the tension in my body was causing me problems, and it wasn't helping me in any way. So I started to make the conscious effort to relax. As I was driving along, I started to realize that, okay, this isn't helping me. The only thing that changes is how I feel and how much I enjoy this drive. It doesn't make me a better driver, so I'm just going to let it go. And I'd relax myself, and then I'd tense back up, and I'd notice it, and I'd relax again. And so from there, over the years, I started to learn all kinds of breathing techniques and stretches and progressive muscle relaxation, and later on in my life, yoga, meditation, these kinds of things that I could use to keep the tension out. But that's when it started, 24 years ago. Now, it would be great if my story kind of ended there, but it doesn't. You see, about half a year ago, 6 months ago, my osteopath suggested that I go to a physiotherapist to see if she could help me with fixing my posture, because it's kind of messed up. Now, I have seen a chiropractor for quite a while. I love my chiropractor to pieces. It's actually a husband and wife team, and they're wonderful. I don't see them all the time, but I have gone over the years quite regularly to them. I have a massage therapist who I do see regularly and who is also fantastic. Plus, I had just finished going for 20 rounds of acupuncture. So, I have quite a full team of people helping me to be the best version of myself that I can be physically. However, I trust my osteopath implicitly, so I made an appointment and I went. And guess what? My physiotherapist told me that I was carrying far too much tension in my back, my neck, my shoulders, everywhere. My muscles are set to permafire, which is my term for never relax. And they need to be retrained in order to learn what should come naturally to them. In their natural state, they are automatically relaxed. Now, at first I was a little bit angry, like, what the heck? I know this stuff. I teach this stuff. I practice this stuff. I have the tools, man. Yet here I am with enough tension to make my physiotherapist raise her eyebrows at me. And you know what? She's far too sweet of a soul to ever wag her finger at me and, you know, try to shame me for it. But if she wasn't so sweet, that's what she would be doing, because the amount of tension I'm holding in my body is pretty unreal. So why am I sharing this? I'm sharing it because I want you to understand that life is an ongoing journey. Knowing, being, doing doesn't necessarily make the problems all go away. I would imagine that without my knowledge and awareness, I would be in really bad straits right now because I've suffered a lifetime of anxiousness. I've experienced some really weird and unique accidents that have caused my body to tighten up and not want to let go again. Yet, I've managed to cure my irritable bowel syndrome. I've almost completely eliminated the headaches. It's very rare I have them. And when they are, they certainly aren't the migraines I used to get. And I've built strong relationships. Overall, I absolutely love my life. Of course, I also have periods of time when I get lazy, and I don't want to put so much effort into what seems like it should be automatic, or when I enjoy maybe a little bit too much wine, or this kind of thing, but I call these my rebellion moments, and they can be refreshing too. So hopefully, you can forgive my imperfections, recognize that I too am living much of what I teach, and most importantly, give yourself lots of leeway to learn, be, do, ignore, adapt, forget, and make mistakes, because ultimately, that is what life is about. So step number one to living with stress is awareness. If you are not already, start to notice how stress presents in your body. Notice what patterns you fall into as a result of stress. I have a pattern that comes up anytime my husband is going away, especially when the kids were younger. You know, I don't mind him going away. I miss him, but at the same time, I like having the bed to myself. And I don't know, I'm okay with it. And yet, every time, the day before he went away, I would turn into this terrible person. And I was no fun to be around. And I often wondered about it. I thought, why today of all days do I have to be in this mood right when he's about to leave? And at some point I recognized, oh my gosh, this is always happening just before he leaves. It's like I was punishing him for going away. It was a pattern that I was falling into. So becoming aware of that pattern allows me then to notice it, to stop it in its tracks, and to choose to behave in a different way. Of course, I had to do some soul searching to figure out why I was going there. And the truth was, I was feeling a little put out that I would have to be a single parent while he was gone. Yet, he works really long hours and often, you know, I didn't see him every day anyway. So anyway, that was my pattern. And becoming aware of that, then I was able to recognize and stop some of that stress from building. Part of awareness is also becoming aware of what your body is telling you. If you're having trouble eating or digesting, sleeping, if your patience level is really low, these are all cues and they help you to understand that your elastic is getting too tight. Which brings me to the final point, tune in to your elastic. Give your elastic a number from 0 to 10. Identify your sweet spot, where you want to be most of the time, and then learn tools, strategies, and practices for all kinds of environments, work, home, elevators, everywhere that you go, so that you can start to decrease your stress as soon as it starts to rise. Now, I feel like that's enough for today's podcast, so I'm going to stop here and continue with this topic next week. But before I do, I would like to lead you through a little exercise if you're interested. If you're driving, you won't be able to do this right now, but you can always come back to it later, right at the end of the podcast, or you can just listen to it and then go through it yourself. You don't need me talking to you while you're going through it. This tool is called the worry container. And I like to use it as a way to help people tune in to both their body and their mind. So if you're in a place where it's safe to do so, sit back, relax, and take a few deep breaths. And on the inhale, if you breathe in, most people suggest you breathe in through your nose. So breathe in through your nose, nice deep inhale into your belly, and just notice where you're holding tension in your body. Is it in your shoulders? Is it in your jaw? Is it up your back? Is it in your legs? In your arms? Do you have fists? notice the tension, and on the exhale, choose any of those spots and release the tension as you release the breath. You might want to make a noise if that helps you feel like you're releasing the tension, but you don't have to. It's totally up to you. Now do 3, 4, 10 of those breaths, whatever you feel you need to get some of the tension out. Be sure on your exhale to go all the way out. You know, even there we tend to hold tension. We don't breathe out all the way. So really relax into these breaths. Breathe in, notice the tension. Breathe out, let it all go. Feel it leave your shoulders. Notice your shoulders come down to the shoulder space instead of up around your ears. Feel yourself starting to relax. And now I'd like you to notice what's going on in your mind. Now I have to say, for us women, there's often a lot of stuff going on there. So see if with your breath, you can actually quiet your mind. Don't go for perfection at this point if you're new to this. Just quiet it as much as you can. You might even envision a volume button. Turn down the volume button. Empty your thoughts. Now in your mind's eye, picture a container of some sort. It might be a bag, it could be a box, it could be a treasure chest, whatever appeals to you. And then notice the thoughts that start coming up. Because it's usually the thoughts of worry, concern, anxiety-producing thoughts that are the strongest. Those are the ones that are there all the time, but they also pop up the moment you try to quiet your mind. So as they come up, put them into this container. Just tell them to go, give them a color and see them go, give them a shape and see them go, whatever works best for you. If you struggle with this, just breathe and pretend they're listening. Okay? They will listen to you. It just sometimes takes a bit of work to believe it. When you're done putting that thought into the container, notice the next one. Add it in there too. You might want to go through some categories. What are the things that usually cause you stress? Is it money? Is it work? Is it your kids? Is it a health concern? Is it your mother-in-law? What is it? And as you go through those categories, you might notice some worries that you hadn't been thinking of recently, but that are suddenly now coming up because those are all there. They're just waiting their turn to demand your attention. Put them all into this bag. Tell them to go. Call them up. Worries, come to the surface. Put them into the container. When you feel like you've gotten the bulk of them, all of them would be wonderful, then you can close up your container. If it's a bag, you might tie it up with a string. If it's a box, you might tape it up with duct tape or packing tape or whatever makes the most sense to you. If it's a treasure chest, you might put a lock on it. Do it up tight and know that those worries cannot come back out of there unless you open the container and allow them back out. But here's the really neat thing. When new little worries pop up, you can tell them to go to the container and they have to listen. They will go and go in there if you tell them and you mean it. You're the one who knows whether or not you mean it. When you're finished doing up your container, in your mind's eye, find a place to put it. You can put it in an attic, in a closet on a shelf, down in the basement. You could find yourself on an island and dig a hole and put it down there. You could lock it up in a treehouse. It's completely up to you. This is your worry container. You are the only one who has access to it. When you've safely stored it away, take another deep breath. Notice if any tension has crept back into your body, and if it has, just breathe it out. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Now, this is just a very simple tool to help you understand that there's a lot of stuff going on in every single day of your life. And so when you start to take these things that are causing you to expend energy, but they're not helping you, they're not giving anything back, when you take them and kind of push them away, you clear up space for creativity, for enjoyment, for loving other people and yourself. And you just make your life that much more enjoyable. So what the heck? Why not? With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.